you tall, tall trees in all the waters and the seas. I'm a fool, fool, fool for you.
Dale wrote in this week and said, I'm seeing Palo Verde beetles crawling out of holes around my Palo Verde trees. I think that this means that a lot of them are eating roots. What can I do to kill the ones that are still underground?
Well, it's pretty tough to do because there's a lot of soil volume to treat. There are chemicals that you can use, but I think if it's a little impractical to try to treat the entire soil volume around a large Palo Verde, mature Palo Verde tree. And also there's, at any given time, there's three generations of insects in the soil. You have the adults, the larva, and the pupa, which are, once those larva are the ones that are eating all the roots, then they pupate and are in the soil for another season. Then they finally emerge as adults. And then you'll see the adults come out of those holes. The adults mate, so it's usually about the middle of June. The adults mate for a couple week period of time. The females go back down in the holes and lay the eggs and start that cycle again. And the larvae that emerge from those eggs are what are chewing on the roots of your trees.
Once you see the beetle, it's not a threat. The threat's already done.
Yeah. Correct. The adults are and they do emerge in large numbers this time of year. You'll see those big black beetles, sometimes 2-3 inches long. And they mainly crawl around, but you'll see them flying occasionally. It was funny on Nextdoor this last week. Somebody had one fly up in their hair and hair on fire. They're running around screaming, and I think the gal said, you know, those in my neighborhood. I just want to start by apologizing for the loud scream you heard. Yes, that was me. And it was kind of a fun post. About 30 or 40 people all kind of chimed in. She says, what in the dickens was that thing that was flying around my head? And then people rightly identified it and said, it's probably these Palo Verde beetles. And they're pretty common around this time. If you're out at night around a bright light, you'll see them. They're pretty prehistoric-looking black beetles. They're kind of scary. They have a...
kind of like pinchers on the
front.
Mandibles on the
front. Those mandibles can break a pencil. I mean, we've actually put a pencil in there, a wooden pencil, and they'll just crush it. So they're pretty powerful little guys. So don't get your finger in there. But you can grab them and play around with them a little bit. They're pretty harmless. They don't go looking to bite you. But they're pretty
ominous. I'll leave the Palo Verde boar beetle playing to you. I think the most I've ever done with them is, a little shoe polish on the bottom of the sole.
I have a great story. I was just going home the other night, and I was walking down the sidewalk, and I just walked down the sidewalk, and I heard something behind me. It went like really loud, and I turned around, and it was a big Palo Verde beetle, and that thing was about 5 or 6 inches long. And it had just fallen and hit the sidewalk. And it was, like I said, it sounded like a golf ball hitting the sidewalk. And I was just like, oh, I just couldn't believe it, how he had hit. And he was just crawling off, and I kicked him off the sidewalk because I knew if anybody else came, they would freak out.
I found a beetle by my tree a couple of days ago, and his legs were still moving, but his body was missing. So apparently a bird had a breakfast
yes,
with him.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Not for the squeamish, but...
Yeah, that's probably a good thing because they do provide a little bit of fodder for the local birds.
Now, is there anything we could do to treat the larva down there to save the tree, or is the damage they're doing to the Palo Verde tree insignificant?
Well, they're part of the desert ecology, and I feel like if they're out near the perimeter of your tree and they're just gnawing away at a few of the smaller roots of the tree, the tree can coexist with them for many, many years. The problem is we often have our emitters pretty close to the tree, and so we have this area of saturated soil that's pretty close into the tree, and it's a more favorable environment for the insects to be there rather than in the native trees. They might be out a little further from the tree, because once they get in close to the trunk of the tree and start girdling some of those large scaffold roots that emerge right from the root collar, then it's all over for the tree, because as soon as those major roots are lost, then you'll see the corresponding dieback above ground. So if you see your Palo Verde tree starting to flag and you start to see little areas in the canopy that start turning brown or single individual branches start to die, chances are the roots are getting devoured below ground, and there's a slow process of a 2 or 3 year decline of the tree, and eventually they'll die. Sometimes these Palo Verdes will just blow over in the next storm, and then you look underground and you'll see the root zone is completely perforated with all these grubs that have been eating the roots.
Yeah, so two things on that. One, yes, we do treat, though, and try to knock down. We try to mitigate. It's like you can't really, because like you said, the three seasons, we do definitely treat it. We try to slow it down and control it so it doesn't kill the tree. So yes, but it's not 100% like a lot of those things. Another thing I want to point out is the same with agave weevils. It's basically the same process. You get the beetles, you get the larva, but the weevils also put their a little poison into the plant that softens the plant up and starts melting it so the larva can eat it even easier. But it's kind of that same process again. So, you know, usually early in the spring, a couple of treatments if you want to be preventative, but totally if it's really dying quick, it's usually the damage is done. The last thing is the first one, like John said, a tree failed when I was a young man. I was maintaining a yard, and I had to go clean up the tree. And the first larva that I saw, I almost passed out. It was so ugly. I thought it was an alien creature from outer space. I'm not kidding. I looked at it. I looked at the face of that thing, and I almost passed out. It was so grotesque. And I thought, oh, my God, I'll never forget it. It was about 6 inches long, huge. And I was cleaning up this Palo Verde that had failed.
Well, we did a root collar excavation with our air spade around a large specimen tree at the Desert Botanical Garden a couple of years ago. This tree had started to decline, and we suspected there might be Palo Verde borers. So we bring in this air spade. It's a pneumatic tool that displaces the soil around the base of trees without disturbing the roots. And I hadn't put that air spade onto the soil for 30 seconds, and I was blowing. these larvae were flying out in every direction. And I had, within about 5 minutes, there were 30 or 40. So they were eating around the very base of the tree, right at the main root collar itself. And it was, you know, obviously bad news. But it was so funny because all the Desert Botanical Garden employees had gathered around. Many of them had never seen these before. And there were these, and we were laying them out in like fish on the boat dock. We were laying them out in this big row on the top of this little stem.
Maybe good bait.
Wall. Maybe good bait. And they're all crawling off, you know, in various directions because they can kind of wriggle. They can't really crawl because they don't have legs, but they're kind of wriggling off. And it was quite a
colors are dropping off. You know?
Where's Dirty Jobs when you need them? Let's get a couple of calls. Barbara's first on the line with a question about a red push. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have a red push pistache. It last summer it put out a lot of sap, so I was told that I might be watering it too much. It's on a drip system, and I have no clue how much it's really getting. But then this year, when it leafed out, 2/3 of the tree leafed out, and the other third put out buds, but didn't want to actually open up to leaves. And some of the new leaves that come out are very skinny and curled, and they don't develop into a mature leaf.
Yeah, that is a bit of a mystery. It makes me wonder if there might be a girdling root on that side of the tree. We've often had seen that with trees that are emerging from dormancy, and part of the tree leafs out fully and part of it doesn't, and this one tree that I remember, it didn't have a root flare on the side of the tree that corresponded to this large branch that didn't leaf out. We did a scratch test out on the end of it, and we saw that it was still green. So we knew the tree that branch was viable. We wondered why, of all the branches in this mature tree, didn't it have leaves? Well, we followed that branch down the trunk of the tree, and it corresponded to this area of the root collar where there was no root flare. And we thought, we suspected there might be a girdling root. And we sure enough got the air spade, went down, just got rid of the soil at that area, and saw this large girdling root about an inch and a half in diameter that was strapped right over the top of a main buttress root on that side of the tree. Got out the hammer and chisel, and we chiseled away at it. And as soon as I broke through, that root was so under such pressure on top of that buttress root, that when I broke through it with that last swing of my hammer onto the chisel, it popped so loud that the owner heard it across the yard 50 feet away. He said, "What was that?" I said, "It was so tight that when I broke through the root, it just pow." And so we took that section of root out. It was about a foot long over the top of that buttress root, removed that girdling root, and within a week, he said, yeah, the branch leafed out entirely, so back to normal. So something you might want to think about.
It's like pinching off a vein.
It is. And so what happens if that root, that girdling root, stays in place, it'll actually strangle that buttress root, and that buttress root will die. And the girdling root will stay alive because it's younger, it's more vital, and it will just, anyway, that whole side of the tree could decline, and you could have a problem, you know, going forward with any of the branches that root was supplying nutrients to. Some trees are very good at translocating the water nutrients from other roots, so it can recover from something like that, and that may have been the case if we hadn't done something with that root. But you don't want to. If you can find those girdling roots and get rid of them, it's a good thing.
And especially young, yeah.
For Barbara, we need to make sure we figure out what we are actually watering. We need to make sure it's out at the edge of the drip edge of the tree branches. And
how much? She said she has no idea. The other clue Barbara gave was the sap. I'm just curious, was it oozing out of the side of the trunk, or where did she notice the sap? Because that could be a fungal disease, you know, or a root rot as well. Could be both issues, you know.
Yeah, could.
If you're getting that sap oozing out of the sides of the tree, that's another huge issue, and it'll cause similar symptoms.
So save a tree, and there's no E. SAVATREE.com. Save a tree. You could get one of the guys out and have a look and see if there's more issues underground. As they say, as go the roots, so go the shoots. And the red push pistache, real quick before we get to our next call, I remember talking and hearing a conversation at one of the Arizona Community Tree Council's conferences about that red push pistache and how you're going to see it be a very dominant tree in Phoenix. And the 303, the northern parkway that's expanding, you know, you look along those, any tree that's not a desert native along that new freeway is all red push pistache.
Nice.
I mean, it's really
great. It's good to hear.
Coming along in popularity. It's a beautiful tree, too.
Yeah, Gilbert, Queen Creek, they're using them abundantly. They're really hardy, usually. That's why they're really, if it's a nice specimen, they're really usually very, very hardy. Again, deciduous in the winter. Again, so, but for a short time, that's a tree that holds on to leaves a long time into the winter, and then boom, drops them, short time, starts coming back out. Yeah, amazing in fall color, too.